This podcast may contain content that is not suitable for listeners under the age of 18. If you are 17 or younger and wish to educate yourself about sex and relationships, you should visit scarleteen.com. That's scarleteen with one T.
Hey, I'm Alicia, your non-monogamous relationship coach. Welcome to the podcast where my friends and I chat about our relationships, enthusiastic non-monogamy, polyamory, swinging, kink, and our lives. You'll get a candid peek into what makes it worth it to live life outside the box. And in case you're still wondering, nope, we're not monogamous. Hey, hey, hey. Dive into the world of authenticity with my latest guest, Sandra Possine. She's the host of the podcast, Oh Hi Self, and this is a really fun conversation. We delve deep into embracing nonconformity, navigating the complexities of non-monogamy, and the liberating journey of self-expression. This episode is more than just a conversation. It's an invitation to a transformative journey towards embracing your true self. We explore the impact of living authentically, overcoming the fear of judgment, and finding freedom in self-expression. Sandra's insights on the erotic blueprint quiz reveal how understanding your unique sexual identities can profoundly affect our relationships and self-awareness. So join us for this empowering conversation and let it be your catalyst for embracing your unique identity. And if this episode inspires you, consider supporting our journey on Patreon. Your support enables us to continue creating content that empowers and enlightens. You can find that at patreon.com/notmonogamous. And don't forget to subscribe and leave a review for Nope, We're Not Monogamous. Your feedback helps us grow and reach more and more people who are eager to embrace their true selves. Enjoy.
It's always hard sometimes. Not always. Sometimes hard to find the button. Hard. Cool. Awesome. Well, I'm excited you're here. Thank you for coming on.
I'm excited to be here.
Yay. Okay. So I want to start, I always start by asking people, because it's Nope, We're Not Monogamous, is what is your experience with non-monogamy, or what is your relationship style, or how do you love?
It's a great question. And it's a, I would say it's a moving target, and it's an evolving situation, like in real time as we speak right now. Nice. And it's one that, it feels more aligned now in my current status and my current partnership than it ever has before. I kind of feel like all of the past parts of my, relationship history, it's like everything's coming together in a really beautiful way. But so long story short, or just current status wise, I'm married to my husband, Chris. We've been together for like 11, 12 years, married for like 7, coming up on 8. If I had to put a label on us, I would also say, nope, we're not monogamous, but I would say that we are somewhere in between, monogamish, which I do love that phrase, yeah, and like open-ish. And the ish has to depend on the situation, the person, the agreements, the boundaries, all of which are very like case by case. And like, yeah, it's an evolving thing, because this is kind of we are in a new chapter of our lives right now, I would say. But it's certain phrases, we were talking about this the other day, because I was like, by the way, I'm doing this podcast, and is there anything that's off the table I shouldn't mention, since, you know, it involves you as well. And we were both kind of saying, there's certain words we don't really like personally resonate with. Like when somebody says, oh, I'm polyamorous, I'm like, I guess technically we would kind of maybe fit into that category, but like, it also doesn't feel like, I wouldn't say that I'm polyamorous, but I would say that I'm in a somewhat open relationship that has a lot of just, like guardrails on it, and a lot of honesty and a lot of conversation and a lot of debriefing and a lot of constant check-ins, because it's new territory ish kind of. How's that for a vague non-answer?
No, it's an excellent answer. You know why I love it is because, that's super relatable for so many people, right? Like as humans, we really want defined boxes and we want clear lines. And yet most of us don't fit in those defined boxes, and yeah, we like to color outside of those lines. So
And so, so much of my whole mission in life, my why, my business, my personal just mission, and not even professionally, has to do with like me living my own extraordinary life unconventionally, like, you know, bucking any and all societal conditioning and expectations that don't feel right for me, and then helping others do the same. So like with a lot of my clients, I'm all about helping them find like unconventional sex. You're not unconventional sex also, but I meant to say unconventional success. Perfect Freudian slip for this podcast, but also in like, you know, living your life on your terms, authenticity, alignment, da, da, da. And so much of that has to do with like daring to not conform to our societal standards. And so getting to play more in the space and think about it and more in the context of relationships is just, it's just so aligned with my whole spiel, like that I'm all about, my whole brand, everything. So,
One of the things that you had said, and I love this, that your whole message and business are about creating life on your terms, which I love, 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 because that's what I always tell people about relationships. Like, create relationships that work for the people in the relationships instead of for the people that are on the outside looking in and telling you what you should be doing.
Yep. And yet we are so conditioned to care so goddamn much about what everybody else is thinking. And the thought of like, oh my God, but what would my parents think? And what would the people I grew up with, who I don't even talk to anymore, you know, or my parents' friend, or like any of that. And it's like, none of that matters. And yet we're so terrified to, you know, cross any of those boundaries or not fit perfectly into the box or the label.
I always love thinking about like, what if, you know, these people find out, and when I like really logically think about it, I'm like, oh, they're going to show up and like send me some Facebook messages for a couple of weeks. And then I won't hear from them again for another couple of years.
Yeah.
That's what will happen. Like, actually,
they'll be like in shock and awe, and then they'll get over it and move on with their day and life goes on. Like I've been just a little like glimpse into the past couple of months. I've been way more open about our current relationship status and just way more open about my sexuality in general. And like, even though I've been kind of open about that for, I don't know, 20 years, but I think I've been more bold and unapologetic and whatever, just a little more in your face about it on social media, which feels so good. There's so much liberation on the other side of not caring as much what people think and daring to put it out there. And some of the little messages I've gotten from people are like, I haven't got any haters about this specifically. I'm sure some people are sitting quietly on the other side and judging me, but that's fine. But the messages that I get were like, one person I'm thinking about, she reached out and she was like, thank you so much for talking about this so openly and for normalizing some of these things. She's like, you know, I'm in a situation, I won't say her personal situation here, but she was like, I'm in XYZ situation and I could never tell this family member about it. And, you know, I live in a small town and I could never like let any of them find out. But so thank you for normalizing it, so I can see that like there are people who do these things, you know, like such a vague example. But those little messages are the ones that make it feel so worthwhile to be more open about it and share about it and have these conversations. And like, that's part of what drew me to be here. I'm just like, let's just talk about it, talk about all of it.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Right. Because like, it feels, because nobody's talking about it, it feels really isolating. And there's like three of us. And the reality is that like the more open people like us who have the privilege of being able to be open, are able to talk about it, the more it, one, becomes normalized, but two, people don't feel alone. They're like, oh, that's what's going on. Okay. I'm not too weird.
And it opens people up to the possibility that there may be more for them, where maybe they haven't, you know, maybe there's like on some subconscious level, they're curious about something outside of the traditional bounds of, you know, like a very heteronormative traditional marriage relationship or something. But then seeing other examples of it, they're like, oh, wait a minute, hadn't even crossed my mind. Like, can I do that? You can do that? You know, like,
right.
And then to be somebody who can model that for people, or like if I can inspire one person to even just question it and possibly honor a leaning that they have that's really authentic to them, then it's also worthwhile.
Yeah, totally. Okay, I want to ask you, why'd you guys open up?
We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Alicia here. You know, the voice you've been tuning into episode after episode. Today, I'm popping in with an invitation that's really close to my heart. Behind the scenes, I've been crafting something special just for you, my dedicated listeners. If there's a voice inside you that's seeking guidance on navigating the realms of relationships and non-monogamy, wanting to like boost your confidence and find that unwavering sense of security, or you're struggling to manage the tricky waters of jealousy, I'm here to offer my support. I've cleared my schedule to open up 50 slots this month for free one-on-one clarity chats directly with me. So this is your opportunity to dive deep into those pressing questions and come out on the other side with newfound clarity and direction. The availability on this is super limited and these spots are going to fill up really fast. So don't miss your chance to connect with me. Head over to my website, aliciapayne.com, right now. Go secure your spot, because together we can uncover a path to a more joyful, fulfilling, and easy non-monogamous journey. Talk to you soon.
So when we first technically, and I was laughing about this the other day, I'm like, we've technically been open since day one, but it took us like 8 or 9 years to ever act on it, because we were just so obsessed with each other from the beginning. Like when we got together and first started dating and we're courting each other, it was just this wild, like, it's this dramatic love story. But there was so much magnetic attraction between us. And part of that was, you know, all just being very honest with each other. And, you know, I was very honest about kind of my past and being very bisexual and having, you know, it's a little bit of a slutty past also, and just being like,
yes.
And, you know, and I just remember him being like, I'm happy to share you, and I should introduce you to this friend of mine. You would love him, you know, just little things like that. And so it was kind of like, we just had this unspoken agreement right off the bat. And then also just stated verbal agreements too, from the beginning, that like, hey, this could be open. But then it's almost as if we both kind of forgot about it, 'cause we were just so into each other. And then we're like happy on our way, and we check in every now and then. There was always a talk of, you know, what if we kind of like pursued something more intentionally, but we were always both like, you know, I don't know, if kind of like if some gal just like shows up and falls into our lap, then we can honor that and explore it and whatever. But it was kind of like, you know, the unicorn or the gal just never really showed up. And so,
right.
And neither one of us really had the bandwidth or the desire to go out like hunting, you know, for someone. Yeah. I was in a previous relationship a long time ago that was very much open, and I didn't have the bandwidth to go find a third, but he was happy to do the hunting. So he would like literally go like find people and then show them to me. And I would basically give a thumbs up or thumbs down. And then he would communicate with them and like bring them. They're all gals, but bring them into the situation. And I was like, this is very convenient. Like, I'm just going to give you a yes or a no. And so it got, you know, it was a chance for me to honor my attraction to women and stuff, but I didn't have to make a whole, it was almost like a very like just fun transactional kind of thing.
Yeah.
There was no real emotional attachments or relationship stuff in there.
Yeah.
But then, and then now with Chris, it was, you know, it was just always like, well, just if it happens, it happens. But it wasn't really until the last couple of years when things just sort of like organically happened. Like, we have a really awesome friend group, and, you know, we just have like fun, wild dance parties. And then that would lead to usually just
things.
Like me starting to make out with friends, you know, just in a really playful way, like platonic, fun, flirty, like nothing serious. And then that just kind of led to more conversations about it. And then just opportunities kind of showed up.
Yeah.
And then and then as the opportunities showed up and they were more than just, you know, a little playful thing here and there, then we got to basically the opportunity to start talking more, more intentionally about like, what does this mean? And what are you comfortable with? And what are you comfortable with? And what's off the table? And what are we not allowed to do? And, you know, we've had a very strong emphasis on boundaries and communication and consent and, just like radical honesty, which has been huge for this. Yeah. Whole chapter.
That's amazing. I love that. It's such a, I love hearing about people who start with a very, open, you know, clear communication, just being really transparent with each other, because it's just, it sets a foundation for so many good experiences. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
And the more that I find the more we sit and like talk. So, I mean, sometimes we've ended up having these like 3 hour long debriefs about just trying to figure out, like, you know, it's like you ask the other person what they're comfortable with and they're like literally trying to figure it out as I'm speaking right now. Cause I don't know, cause I haven't thought about it before, or I haven't been, you know, haven't entertained this possibility before. So it was like, as little developments were happening, we're like debriefing it in real time to figure out. And, you know, like one of my, I'm all over the place, but one of my kind of mantras in life right now, which I stole from a mentor of mine, is that I'm allowed to change my mind about anything or anyone at any time. Yep. And so I feel very strongly about that. And I feel very strongly about that in the context of something like an open relationship where you're like, yeah, yeah, no, I'm totally fine with that. Go do your thing. And the next day you're like, just kidding, change my mind. I thought I was comfortable with that, but now that I'm really sitting with it, I'm realizing I'm not. And then not like it's off the table forever, but then having the opportunity to like sit down and debrief it then and be like, what is it about this, whatever permission that you gave and then took back? Like, what is it about that feels threatening? And then that leads to all sorts of amazing conversations about what we each actually really need and like unspoken desires or unspoken, just like, I need to feel this way or safety or whatever it might be. So it's like each one of those little like wrinkles where we've had to then be like, wait a minute, but I thought, but, and it's like, it's actually just as cool because it's an opportunity to connect more deeply and trust each other more. And like, we've had some of the most insane conversations in the last 6 months that we, and we're really close. Like our friends see us as people who just have this amazing communication and connection, but like it has gone much deeper into totally uncharted territory. Like feelings have come up that I didn't know even existed anywhere in my body. And it's been just a really neat journey. And I feel closer to him now than I ever have. Like, thanks to a lot of those really weird wrinkles being like, we're all changing our mind at the same time, but just flowing with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh, I love that so much. I love that you can always change your mind. I think everybody needs to know that. Like about all the things, right? The like things. Even in the middle of sex, you can change your mind. Totally. Like, you can stop.
Like I see that with, you know, clients who are working on whatever, health or careers or relationships or even like a new hobby, you know, they're so afraid that like, what if I change careers and then I hate it? And then I'm like, then you can change it again. Or if somebody's like, you know, like I've randomly had all these women recently, clients of mine who are super passionate about flower arranging. I was like, why am I attracting people who are into flower arranging? That's awesome. But then they're like, you know, they want to put all this time and energy into it, but then they're like, but then what if I don't like it? And I'm like, then you can go do something else. You know, it's like full permission. You are not locked into this whatever thing that you decided on. You can change your mind in the middle of it. Like you said, in the middle of sex, in the middle of something you thought was going to be amazing. And then you're like, nope.
Yeah. In the middle of making a flower arrangement, you can be like, I don't like this one anymore and toss it out.
Exactly. Which is just very freeing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good. Oh, I love that. What, I'm curious, are there any like challenges that have come up that have surprised you?
Yes. The one that surprised me the most was my own jealousy. Mm-hmm. I don't really know how to explain it, but I feel like I haven't experienced, it sounds dumb to say it, but I'm like, I feel like I hadn't actually really ever experienced jealousy before, like ever in, you know, about other, not about relationships. So I've been jealous, you know, I'm an entrepreneur. So I've been jealous of another female entrepreneur's coaching business that I felt like was growing faster than mine or something like that. Or somebody's branding is cooler or, you know. One thing I used to get really jealous about is people's hair. Like I have a whole thing around my hair. And so one of my good friends has the most amazing, thick, blonde, straight hair. And my hair is like fine and kind of wavy. And I used to get really triggered by how great her hair, you know, it's like little things like that. And then I worked through that. And I was like, that's a great opportunity just to celebrate other people's whatever. But but in with relationships, like, I don't know if it's just the nature of all my past relationships. I just always felt like really secure and I wasn't worried about really any part of it. And up until recently in my marriage, I just like hadn't, you know, I trust him so completely and I feel so solid in our relationship and our communication that just jealousy wasn't a thing. And like, I'm very openly bisexual and we very openly like both will, you know, talk about like people that we think are attractive. And like, I wasn't threatened by him looking at other women, because I would look at them too and be like, I love that for you. Not my type. I'd be like, yeah. I like, you know, what this type instead. But then in a most, like our most kind of recent iteration, it's me dating someone who then he also has a connection to. And then it was me getting jealous of their connection.
Yeah.
Which intellectually I'm like, I love that for him that he's connected to her. I love that for her that she's connected to him. I love that for me that they're connected, because that's great. It's all just win-win all around. But then there's this part of me that was like this bratty, really possessive, weird toddler devil lady that came out of my being. And I was literally like, who the actual fuck is this monster? I have never met her before and I don't like her at all. Yeah. And the interesting, I mean, from the outside, one might think like, oh, you're jealous of her. Like you're jealous right. of this other woman who's like, you know, has some connection to your partner. And I was like, no, I'm jealous of my partner because I don't like that he gets to have any connection with her because I want it to myself. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how does that, I mean, first of all, she has her own partner. Like, I'm not too shy. I don't own her, you know, like I don't get to. And so I was like, what is this weird dynamic that is like happening? And I was just saying, so it's still something I'm kind of unpacking. I'm like, how did that? And it, we had all these amazing talks about it and like debriefs and yeah, anyway, it's like so many layers there, but it just totally took me by surprise. And then it was really triggering because I didn't like that version of myself. And I know that's something, the jealousy thing is something you talk about a lot in your work. So I do. For your perspective, because I was just like, I don't like this jealous ass bitch that's coming out right now. Like, make her go away. But then I couldn't ignore it. So I was like, I have to feel these feelings. But then in honoring that and letting myself feel the feelings, I was like, I just need to be like a little brat right now. I need to have like a toddler level tantrum. I basically was like, that's my toy. Don't touch my toy. It's mine. But then the grown-up part of me is like, we share here. We share our toys. Toys are meant to be shared. Everyone, like, it's lovely. Like intellectually, I was like, yes, but my whole body was just like, don't touch my toys. She's mine. You know? So it was really weird. And I was very open about it with him, with her and with everyone. But it was a really interesting thing to navigate. And I felt a lot of self-judgment around, I was like, this version of me just literally make her go away because she's gross. She's mean. She's stupid. This is not what I'm about. And I felt a lot of shame around it too. I was like, where is this coming from? This is not okay. And then luckily Chris and I are like, we do such a good job debriefing things and we'll just sit and like, dig and dig and dig. And he's really amazing at like holding space and asking me questions. And like, he will challenge me on things for sure. And he will stand up for himself, but he also can just, he knows me so well. He knows my triggers. He knows my limiting beliefs. He knows all my like hurt little girl stuff. And so he can just sit there and like help me process while I'm just like, wah, you know? And then a lot of it came down to just like trust.
Yeah.
Like trusting everyone involved and also being like something about attachment and letting go and like not needing to control things, which like to another parallel with clients, I see so much of what people bump up against is their need to like predict and control everything. Like I need to control my life. And I'm like, you can't.
Yeah.
And the more you surrender and let go, the more free and empowered you'll feel. And then you trust yourself and you trust the universe and whatever. And so in this situation, I was like, I need to let go of trying to control the situation. Cause I don't want to control it anyway. But part of me was like, I like needed to be like peering around every corner and monitoring. And I was like, ew, don't do that. And so the more that I've just been like, I trust myself, trust him, trust her, trust the universe, I trust us all to figure it out. The better it's felt in my body. And the more I can just like relax and roll with the punches and be curious and excited and like see what unfolds.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Oh gosh. I love that. There's so many good things, so many good nuggets in there. I love the piece about control and like, so that is, I would say probably the number one thing that people come to me and they're like really like, what is, they want to know what is going to happen. What if, you know, what if these multiple series of events happen and then my life is in ruins? And I'm like, well, then they do. Like, like there's only so much you can have control over besides yourself. Jealousy it's one of those things that whenever people tell me that they aren't jealous or not very jealous, or I've never experienced jealousy. And I'm like, you just haven't had anything happen that triggered the jealousy. That's all. Which is great.
That's such a normal human emotion too, right? Yep. Like we all have the capacity for that. And it's a very normal part of our human experience.
Yes, totally. I loved your description of like the toddler with the blocks. Cause I say that all the time. I'm like, we're a bunch of giant toddlers just running around. Make sure you've had enough to eat and you've had enough to sleep and that, you know, you don't, maybe you need some like cuddles, like, you know, hugs, like basic human needs to soothe the toddler who's getting upset about the blocks being shared. Cause it is, we all have that in us. Totally. Yeah. I've always been very jealous, which I think is helpful for me because I have a lot of resilience in it. I've had a lot of practice with being jealous and like moving through it without blowing things up. So I imagine it's really, really hard if it's something that you have not experienced much. It's a big feeling.
Like, and it's a very uncomfortable one.
Yeah. And comes with all those things like shame and judgment and like, because culturally, you know, when people are jealous in monogamous relationships, we make two assumptions. Either it's because someone has harmed you or because you're crazy. Like, right? Like either there's something wrong with you and you shouldn't feel jealous, or someone has done something wrong, which makes you jealous valid. But outside of those two things, we don't have any experience with just being jealous and being okay.
Now that I've, and I'm not saying it won't ever come up again, because I suspect it will, but it's so cool. Like if I look back at the last kind of 6 months or whatever it's been, there have been like chapters in this chapter. And while I wouldn't have, you know, wished for the jealousy chapter, especially had I known like how intense it was going to feel for me, I'm so grateful that it happened. You know, it was like the first chapter in this thing was like kind of a honeymoon phase where I was just like, I would say the last, even though I've been like very out and like open about being bisexual, I haven't like been as vocal about it. And I've felt more of a kind of a, almost like a responsibility to the LGBT community the last couple of years of being like, I have so much privilege, like to compared to a lot of people in the community that don't, where it's like literally not safe for their survival to say anything about their identity. And I'm like, I'm kind of over here in my little, you know, castle. Like I can get away with a lot of things. I'm like, I need to speak up. I need to be vocal. I need to take a stand and all of that. And so I've been trying to just like be more bold, be unapologetic and stuff. But it's one thing to just like talk about it conceptually and be like, yay, pride. And here's my coming out story and da, da, da. But then being able to like, you know, post photos on a date with a girlfriend, like that has felt very, not just like I'm showing up in a way that feels really important to take a stand. And, but then it's been really interesting for me, just like personally, the kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Just like the empowerment, like, I'm big on like, you know, unleashing our inner badass. And for me as a strong female, but one who's maybe been less in touch with my feminine side, it's been really important to like unleash my more like feminine and all of that. And so it's like wild woman side of me, like the side that wants to just like run around naked in the woods and howl at the moon, like all the witchy shit. I don't really honor. I've been like, you know, the fit, like the gym bro and like the entrepreneur who's hustling. Like I want to honor that really witchy feminine side. And so this year, a big part of it has been, even just a couple of years ago when we were, you know, having these dance parties and like running around our underwear outside our friend's house and making out with friends, like all of that has felt like this part of this unleashing and this, like, I feel more kind of empowered in my own like feminine embodiment and just empowered in myself as an individual and as a human, but also empowered sexually and sensually and like self-expression. And all of that has really escalated. And then this summer, I just reached this point where I was like, just exploding at the seams. Like I felt so confident and like magnetic and just things were really happening in my business and my life and in relationships and community. And like, I was just like, wow. But that was also kind of the honeymoon phase before we bumped into any of the like jealousy and like, you know, it was just kind of, this like little dating honeymoon situation. And then it got into like, oh, there's more, you know, there's other people's emotions involved and there's more complicated conversations to be had here about boundaries and things. And then I hit like the jealousy phase, which a lot of other fun things were still going on, but it was like, I just went deep into this rabbit hole of like, I'm just feeling like this angry toddler all the time. And so while that was a painful couple of weeks or a month or whatever it was, maybe 6 weeks, I look back at it now and I'm like, thank God that happened. Because now I've worked through it and I feel so much more depth in my own understanding, so much more depth in my connection and my intimacy with my husband and connection to her. And like, just, I don't know, just the whole situation, I just feel so much more at peace. And I've learned how to surrender this need to control and predict in this particular situation. But also I feel like I have a better sense of how to apply that to other areas too, of like surrender and trust and be present and do all the things and communicate, but not need to like white knuckle it and be like, I need these people to act this way for me to be okay. You know?
Right. Yeah. 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 and it's always interesting because when you're in the middle of that, like when you're in that shadow, it feels like that this is probably never going to end. This is, there's no ending this unless everything stops, but that's not what I want. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been very helpful to remind myself, cause I support so many other people going through their big emotions, but I hadn't like, and Chris is always really good at supporting me through mine, but mine are usually related to totally other things. To be in my own emotions like this and remind myself like, this is temporary. And the only way through is to go through it. You can't just like take a little walk around the perimeter. Like you can't intellectualize it. You can't just like sit and analyze it. Like you have to just feel these feelings, but in a safe container and with trust and processing and do all the, you know, embodiment things. I did a lot of crying, a lot of yelling, a lot of like moving my body and moving the energy. And it feels like a huge gift now. And I'm thankful to all the parties involved for their willingness to like witness me going through it. Like I was going through my own more intense version of anything that anybody else involved was feeling, I think. I'm just really glad now. And I feel like a resilient motherfucker at this point. I'm like, kind of feel like I can handle anything.
Right now. Until the next thing.
And then when I get back to tantrum toddler stage, then I will go find support for that. It'll probably be Chris as usual.
I'm curious, what would you say was like if you had to pick one tool that you found most helpful, what would it be?
If I chose, I can narrow it down to two. I would say number one, just giving myself permission to feel my feelings and to like experiment with feeling them in different ways. I think I have kind of corresponding emotional outlets for depending on the type of emotion. Like I'm really good at feeling, I'm a sensitive empath, HSP, moody person. I always have been. And so I've always been good at like sad. I'm really good at sad. Mm-hmm. I know how to do sad. I'm a great crier. I cry very easily. I know how to have people hold me and support me. I know how to do an ugly ass cry in the shower. That's easy. So like that was a go-to anytime I felt more like a blue kind of sad. But then anger is not an emotion that I've typically had a lot of access to. I think just based on what was modeled for me and stuff, like examples of anger that I saw, I was like, no, I don't want to do that. Or any version of anger that was coming out of me, I was like, this is embarrassing. I don't like how it looks. I would always stuff that down, I think. Or I just like didn't know how to make it come out in it. I don't raise my voice. I don't yell. I don't like punch wall, you know? And so, but then I experienced some anger this time that I was like, oh, okay, this is coming out one way or another. So I may as well like do it in a healthy way. And it was first time in a long time that I felt what felt like rage. But now I know a lot more about that emotion, at least intellectually. So I was like, we're going to do this in a very feminine way. We're going to do this in a very like sacred, witchy, ritualistic way. And so I would say I did my best. It was not always pretty. Not that rage should not be pretty, but I did a lot of like looking at it as like the ritual of honoring sacred rage, which like I can feel anger, resentment, rage, judgment, whatever at this particular thing that I'm being triggered by. And like, I'm going to release rage from like my generational ancestral trauma from the witch, whatever, you know. I was like, let me, it reminded me of, I was in Costa Rica with Chris a couple of years ago doing a plant ceremony for multiple days. And I remember I was crying a lot during those times. And I remember at one point, like laying there and crying and like hearing other people, you know, making all the weird sounds that people make when they're having a plant ceremony, wailing and screaming and all this kind of stuff. And I remember at one point being like thanking the whole room for releasing like pent up anger and grief and rage for the collective. So I think I was doing a little bit of that during this chapter. I'm like, you know, some of it's like primal screaming in the car. Some of it's like punching pillows, like all safe places where I'm not going to actually really hurt myself or anyone else. But it, I like the idea of using it not as something that's like, oh my God, I'm embarrassed. I shouldn't feel this way, which I did in the beginning, but then I worked through that. And it's just been like, this is okay to release. And it needs to come up so that it can come out so I can work through it. And the more I release it, but like in an intentional way, in like a safe place with a safe container, and then I'm able to not only move the energy, but then also go process it and like talk about it or journal about it or whatever it is to kind of integrate. So it's not just like rage and then nothing, you know, like rage and then go pretend you're fine. But like, it was rage and then, and honor that and be like, this is a sacred emotion that as women, we are often discouraged and conditioned to not be allowed to feel. Cause it can look a little intimidating. It can look scary. It looks messy. It's not graceful, you know? So it was like, so the tool to circle back, it was like, allowing myself to feel sad and cry, allowing myself to feel anger and rage and let it out. And just making sure I was moving my body, you know, like, I think it's so tempting to really intellectualize our emotions, but based on everything I know, it's like, we need to, our emotions live in our bodies, not in our brains. Like, we need to move. So a lot of walking and moving, ideally I would be dancing, but I didn't dance as much as I maybe would want to. And then the other tool is just the debriefing, the communication with multiple people, but mostly with my husband. And I mean, a crucial part of it was his willingness to like sit and, you know, there were nights it would be 10 PM. We'd be like, okay, good night. And then one of us would be like, we'd say one thing and I'd be like, oh fuck.
Here we go.
You know, something you just said just triggered me. And then like our connection would break and we're both very committed to not going to bed angry, you know? So then we'd be like, okay, let's talk. 3 hours later at 1 AM, we're both like, oh my God, we're going to be so tired tomorrow. But it just, the willingness to just debrief and like deconstruct and process and be like, you know, just keep like our thing is we just keep talking about it until we feel the connection come back.
Yeah. I love that. That's so good. I love the cathartic movement. That was one of my big tools as well, is like, I would go lock my bedroom door and turn music up really loud and shake and breathe and scream and punch pillows and jump on the bed and like just move, right? Like let the tears come out and all of that. Like it's so important. And I don't think people do enough of that just in general, let alone when they're feeling in crisis. Yeah.
Yeah. It's such medicine.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is. It really is. It's amazing. Yeah. I probably know the answer to this, but if you had the chance to go back and do things differently, is there anything you would change?
Like in this particular chapter of, or like in my full journey?
Full journey.
I would probably fly my freak flag higher and be way more vocal much earlier. I think I, when I reflect on my whole, like if I say my journey, I probably knew that I wasn't straight like as a kid, but I don't think, I just didn't have the vocabulary or like the context to really put that into. I just knew it wasn't something that like people talked about as a kid in the 80s. You know, there was like some vague idea of like gay people, but I was like, that's also not me. But like, whatever I am is not whatever this other thing is that everybody seems to be. So it's just kind of like something I didn't really think about until college. And then there were many opportunities and things all around me that were like, this is a thing. And I was like, oh, I think I might be that thing. But not the gay one, the one that's both. You know,
so what is
like,
this?
You know, now maybe I would call it, probably my most accurate description would be pansexual, but that wasn't like people weren't even using that word. And nobody was really using the word queer back then too. It was like, you're straight, you're gay, or you're bisexual. Those were the options that I was aware of. And so if we say my kind of journey was started around 20, I'm 43 now. So the last 20 years, so half my life, when I think back to the different chapters, I love to look at everything as chapters. And oftentimes the chapters are like when I lived a certain place or when I was dating a certain person or whatever it was. I feel like I can look back and I was the most confident, empowered, wild, free two of my most desired emotions are feeling wild and free. So I look back at the chapters where I felt wild and free. And a lot of that had to do with how self-expressed was I, or how uninhibited and like liberated was I allowing myself to show up in my fullness, my full identity. And I look back at certain relationships I was in where, you know, they maybe knew about that part of me, but they were not interested in supporting it. And they were very committed to their idea of like, this is our little, you know, what's appropriate for my family and our friend group and our social life and stuff. So I would just kind of take that part of me and like, I wouldn't flip off the switch completely, but I would like turn the dial way down.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I certainly wasn't like walking around talking about it or rainbow flagging it anywhere. I was just like trying to fit in. But I look back at the periods where I was more loud about it. And that's when I felt most wild and free and happy and empowered. And it feels really good to be, even though I like technically, you know, have been open and have been out and whatever for a long time, just these last couple of years and the way that my partnership with Chris has evolved has felt so immensely liberating. And it's part of my wish for everybody. Like I want everyone to feel wild and free or whatever their version of that is. So I think the only thing I would change is do more of that sooner and turn up the dial. And the times when I was like kind of hiding it or just turning down the dial, I would go back and challenge that version of myself to be like, what would happen if you just crank the dial all the way up? And you might, you know, some people might push back, but maybe they're not your people.
As time has told, right? You can look back and be like, no, really, you should have. That's amazing. I love that. That's so good. That's fun. Mine are easy and free. So I just want things to be easy and fun and like just feel really free. So I love that. it's so relatable. So relatable. I remember when I was in high school, I knew I was bi, and then had a couple of experiences, and then, you know, then jealousy was so intense that I spent all of my 20s going, nope, I'm straight and I don't share. And then I got divorced at 35 and I was like, I'm straight and I don't share, but I don't want to be monogamous and I want to be a big slut. And then I met my husband my second husband a couple months later, and he was like, I'm polyamorous. And I was like, I'm straight and I don't share. And then we had a threesome with a friend of mine and I was like, oh, I'm not straight and I do share.
And then your whole paradigm of existence that you're totally committed to, you're like, well, shit. Okay, I'm going to need to reevaluate. And
time to make some
changes. There is a different way. There's a different way. And the different way also doesn't need to look like any specific thing. Like we so get to choose our own unique path. And within that path, like I think a lot of someone like me who's like, I don't know. I'd say somewhere living it, like somewhere in between. If two ends of the spectrum are like the super straight, traditional, whatever, heteronormative kind of world, and then like the super everything that's alternative, super poly, all of that side of it. Like, there's a lot of that side of the spectrum that just doesn't resonate, doesn't feel
sure.
Like I can't really, again, like I was saying, the word polyamorous even doesn't really feel like me. And I don't know that, you know, either one of us would be interested even in a relationship where like we're both dating multiple people and it's this whole like wild, like that, whereas like somewhere in the middle for me feels really right, at least for now. And the idea that like if I was choosing between one or the other, I would be so sad because neither one of those worlds feels at all right for me. And I would feel like I was giving up a bunch and sacrificing a lot and trying to do something that also I'm not, you know, so it's like being somewhere in the middle of the road and being able to design my unique path and really honor all parts of my sexuality, my identity, like, and my partnership. And we get to design our partnership and exactly how that works. And it's allowed to change and it's allowed to evolve. And then like, we get to try things and experiment and see what fits and see what, you know, there's a lot of things that like rationally or logically or hypothetically, you're like, oh yeah, that sounds great. And then you go explore and you're like, actually, no, at least not
that
now.
Didn't like that.
It's a not yet or it's a not now. And I might change my mind about that tomorrow or next year. And it's just so, I don't know. It's so freeing to give ourselves permission, I think, to be able to just tune in and like be really unapologetically authentic, even if what's real for us is changing and evolving.
Yes. Yes, yes, absolutely, 100%. I love that. Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you would want to share with the listeners?
Ooh. Hmm. I feel like I want there to be something. So I'm searching in the corners of my psyche right now. I guess it's more of, I'm trying to think if I have like a personal example, like the thing that I wish more people knew, or like this, what I want for people is this internal state where, and I'm not saying I live this way all the time, but like the feeling that I sometimes feel, and I wish I could feel all the time, is this feeling of like, really relaxing into who you are. There's a quote, I think it's like a Chinese proverb or something. And it's, tension is who you think you are. Relaxation is who you are. And it's that relaxation part of that where you're just, you know, and it takes a lot of work and usually a lot of years of deconditioning and recognizing what are the things that I'm being, or what are the things I'm doing that I'm doing or being because it's what I think I should be, or it's just what was modeled for me. Like literally never occurred to me to not be or do that thing. But then the more that we can just kind of remove the, like peel back those layers of the onion and like relax into who we really are, and then not just relax into it, but like dare to express that really loudly. Not that we have to, you know, megaphone it to people who aren't interested, but just, you know, show up that way unapologetic. Cause I think a lot of us, especially as women, we like, you know, we're afraid to take up space and we kind of shrink down and we're like, no, I'm me over here, but also I'm going to not bother. I was such a people pleaser, always working on that. And it, you know, so it's so easy to go back into those tendencies of being like, I'm going to fly my free flag, but like really quietly here in the corner where I'm not going to make anyone uncomfortable. But just being able to relax and stand tall in who you are, own your shit and live your life the way you're going to live it, make the choices you're going to make it, and slowly release all of those fears around what are people going to think, and just be like, they are allowed to think what they want and that's okay. But as long as I'm in integrity with my own self and identity and choices and behavior and actions, then it's okay. Then they can think what they want.
Yeah. Yeah. That's beautiful. I love that. That makes me think of, there's a really amazing book I read called A Hidden Wholeness. Hmm. And it's written by this Quaker man who ran, like circles, like trust circles for people. And he talks about that, like that living a divided life, that isn't authentic, and that the wholeness that is within. And when you embrace everything that is like real and true for you, is that like that sense of inner peace. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
And I think when we show up that way, not only is it feels amazing because we let go of so much of the inner kind of tension and like the cognitive dissonance of like, who I really am, but then here's this version that sounds like socially acceptable and who most people will approve of, whatever. And it's like that's that tension internally has such a huge impact on how we show up, our presence, our magnetism, our how much we connect with people, the depth and the intimacy and the vulnerability we can have with another person. Mm. So it's like the internal state and the external impact when we can be in that whole place.
Yeah. Yeah. It's beautiful. I love that. How can people find you?
They can, go to my website, which is sondrapossing.com. That's Sondra with an A, not an O, or you can just Google my name, and the Possing has two S's because I am the only one of me in the world. I check often and so far no one else has shown up with my name. Nice. So I'm easy to find, @SondraPossing on all the social medias, in all the places.
Awesome.
Oh, and I have a podcast as well. It's called Oh Hi Self.
Oh yes, I've seen some clips from it. Amazing, amazing. I'll put that stuff in the show notes. I have one more question for you, and this is not on the main podcast, but goes to our Patreon supporters, and it's called Just the Tip, and it's what is your best or favorite sex tip?
Oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah. Amazing. Thank you so much.
And thank you for, you know, I just discovered your work recently, but I'm always so grateful to see people like you doing this kind of work because, these conversations are not typical and I would love for more people to be having them and just for more people to, should they be interested in things that are maybe non-traditional or non-conventional, to like have permission to explore them and see what resonates for them. Because we each get to do it our own way. We really do.
Yes, absolutely. 100%.
Even if other people think it's weird.
Which usually they're just like, man, I wish I could do that too. But what would people think?
What would people think? Yes. Let them wonder. Let them wonder.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was such a pleasure to be here.
And that's it for today's episode with the amazing Sandra Possian. If you enjoyed our conversation and you want to hear Sandra's Just the Tip, you're in luck. That exclusive bonus content is waiting for you over on our Patreon page. It's packed with our guests' favorite or best sex tips that you don't want to miss out on. So head over to patreon.com/notmonogamous to get in on that. And don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode. You'll find all the links to Sandra's fantastic work and more. Thanks for listening. Bye. Thank you so much for listening today. It would mean the world to me personally and would help us keep this little podcast going if you would subscribe, leave a review, or share this episode with your friends. For more personalized support with your own relationships, we can work together on a one-to-one basis. Just visit my website at aliciapayne.com and schedule a free call to chat about life, the universe, and your relationships. Bye.